Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Rich Novak, and this is Real Life with Rich and Christ. The reason I wanted to do this show is because I have a heart after God that I know a lot of other people do too, and that is I wanted to share the fact that people can have a real relationship with a real God that are dealing with real problems. And so to start with, I just want to give you a background of what my life is and how I came to this place. And bear with me because this is all new to me and I'm nervous right now. But I really believe this is what God is calling me to do in the next step of our ministry. Because I know there's a lot of people out there that are dealing with a Christianity that's really not the real thing. And it's a Christianity that says they have to do something in order to receive something from God. And I've learned over 33 years that that's not the truth. The truth is that God loves us exactly as we are. He couldn't love us any more. And his love is unconditional, and he'll never leave us or forsake us. And so how I came to know that was I grew up in the 70s, and I ended up in alcohol and drug treatment in 1981. And when I was in treatment, about 2 weeks into treatment, I was having a really hard time. And before I went into treatment, I'd known some Christians on the railroad that I'd worked for. And they were sharing Christ with me. And I kind of gave a half-hearted commitment to Christ at one point in time. It was kind of one of those foxhole conversions, you know, help me, Lord. And it was never real. Well, I ended up in alcohol and drug rehab, and about 2 weeks into the program, I was having a tough time in the group therapy sessions and whatever, and so for some reason I brought my Bible with me, and I opened up my Bible, and it actually I just threw the Bible down on the bed, and it opened up to Matthew 6:34, and it says, don't worry about tomorrow, live one day at a time. And that was a theme from AA. And God was showing me right there that one day at a time life came from him and not from some program. So he literally saved me with that whole philosophy of living for him and trusting him on a one day at a time basis. And after treatment, there you're instructed to go and find some kind of a post-rehab program. And so I was trying AA and it wasn't working for me. And so anyway, I came out of a Christian concert, and there were a lot of those back in the day, free will concerts. Now they charge money for them, but back in the day you could go for free if you didn't have the money. And there's a guy standing there with the pamphlet, and he handed it to me. It was Alcoholics Victorious Christ-Centered Counseling. So I started going to that. And to make a long story short, I became a member, then I became a leader, then I became the coordinator of the group after a couple of years. And it was during that time that this the guy that handed me the pamphlet, actually, he introduced me to some very deep books. One of them was Andrew Murray's Waiting on God. Another was Watchman Nee, The Normal Christian Life. And the third one was Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret. And the combination of those three books opened my eyes up to a Christianity that I didn't see. I didn't see in the churches that I was attending. I didn't see in the people that I was around. And so I started developing a hunger for God that was other than the people around me. Because those books were talking about laying your life down, and it's no longer I who live, and counting all things as loss. And I wasn't hearing that in the church that I was attending. I was a brand new baby in the Lord. And so this guy says to me, he says, Rich, you really want everything God has for you? And I said, yeah, I do, Bob. I want everything. And he said, then pray this prayer. And so I prayed the prayer. And the prayer was, it was a prescribed prayer. It was like a doctor handing you a prescription for some medicine. And it was, Lord, bring me to the end of myself and give me a revelation of who I am in Christ. And that was in 1983. And I prayed that prayer for about 3 years. And after about 3 years, I couldn't pray it anymore because God was answering that prayer. He was taking me to the end of all things Rich, and he was revealing himself. And in 1984, I lost my job in the railroad, high-paying job in the railroad, and I ended up going from making $600 a week, which was a lot of money back then, to $125 a week on unemployment. And I ended up doing that for about 2.5 years, and God immediately took me up on that prayer. He brought me into the fire, and then he brought me from the frying pan into the fire. And so that's what my whole life has been about, is an answer to that prayer. Now, people would think it's insane to pray that prayer. But I had something burning inside of me that wanted to know God. Not just know about God, but to know him. And Paul talks about that. He said, knowing him and the power of his resurrection. And so I wanted to know that God. And so that's what this show is going to be about. I wrote a devotional earlier in the year called Rich in Christ. It's not about me. It's about you. The fact that you're rich in Christ and you may not know it. And I'm going to hopefully share out of that, maybe read some stuff out of it. And sometimes I'm just going to fly by. Right now I'm flying by the seat of my pants. And like I said, I'm nervous, but I know that this is what God's calling me to. And I know there are hurting believers out there who want to have that same relationship with God, like Jeannie from Texas, who I've been sharing with on Facebook. And Jeannie has recently come into this revelation, and she's just basking in the fact that she knows it's no longer her who lives, it's Christ who lives in her. Or our ministry partner, Joan Riley, who is so real with God and how God has taken her from hopelessness to seeing him as her only hope. That's really what this 30 minutes a week is about. And if God wills it, it might expand into something more. But that's what it's about. And my passion, my desire is I write. And I've written a lot of stuff on Facebook in the last, well, I've been on since February of 2010. And I figure I've written something like 500 articles and thousands of statuses. And it's all on the same theme, you know. Paul said, I preach Christ and him crucified. That was his message. He didn't add anything to it or take anything away from it because he knew that was the only life there was. There was no other life. And what amazes me about Paul was that Paul went from this pinnacle of religion where he was being trained as a top religious leader to the place where he can say, I count everything as loss in comparison to knowing Christ. I mean, I can't even imagine that. I mean, I can now after 33 years because I know that's the only thing I desire. In May of last year, in 2012, our ministry partner came to us and had a word for us and said, if not now, when? And if not you, who? So by God's grace, I was able to hang up my truck driving job that I've been doing for 20 years and walk away from that and write full-time. And we just came back from a two-month tour around the U.S., and we shared at different grace groups and churches and we're just going out and ministering life. And people are tired of trying to live for God. Even though they don't know anything else, they're tired of it. Because when they hear this new life that they can have, when they hear the true grace of God, which means it's the grace of God that flows to the lowest place, and then it pools there, and it works. He works his work until he can find somewhere lower to flow. And that's exactly what God has done in my life. I have lost homes, jobs. I've lost relationships. I've been estranged from my children for years. I've almost lost my life 2 years ago. And all through it, I have seen the faithfulness of God as I've lost, and he's revealed to me this losing to gain message. And he's brought me past a life of preserving myself for myself. And that's really a lot of what my ministry is about, is exposing the unfruitful deeds of darkness, which is religion. Religion that says, if you do this, then God will do this. And that's not who Jesus Christ is. Christ is not, the Word of God is not a book. The Word of God is a person. The Bible is the revelation of the person who is the Word of God. And there's a world of difference there. We can know about God or we can know God. And those differences are as far as east is from the west. One is about education, the other is about revelation, and revelation is the only thing that brings transformation. It's only God, only now. And so how do you get there? How do you embrace that life of loss? How do you get to that place? Well, for me, it was that simple prayer. And then God began to reveal himself. And if you pray that prayer, just count on going through hell, because you're going to go through hell. Because God is systematically going to touch everything that's at the center of your life that isn't him. And he's going to touch it, and then he's going to begin removing it. And then when he removes it, it's going to hurt. Because the thing that a lot of the preachers and teachers aren't telling you about, that I'm going to tell you about in your real relationship with God, is that it's painful to lose to gain. Jesus lost everything for us. You think it wasn't painful for him? If we share in his sufferings, we share in his glory. If we refuse to share in his sufferings, then there is no glory. And what's the glory of God? The glory of God is the person of Jesus Christ. He's living in us and he's living as us. And Paul said in Galatians 2:20, it's no longer I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. That's what this show is all about. And I'll read from my devotional, and I'll share things that I've gone through during the week. And I'll be open and laid bare. And I won't just talk about the good things. I won't just share the happy times. Because people, real people, don't just deal with good things and happy times. So that's, and I was sitting here thinking before the show started. Actually, I was sitting here shaking before the show started. And I was thinking, you know, this should have a name for this show. And, you know, I always tell people, you know, this is about having a real relationship with a real God for the real issues of life, and you're going to get real content. And so just before it started, God just gave me the words, real life. Because that's what we deal with. We don't deal with fantasy life. We deal with the real life. We deal with paying bills. We deal with kids that are going crazy. We deal with issues that have to do with relationships and broken relationships. And how do we deal with those things every day? Well, Paul had the secret. I wrote about it yesterday. It was the hidden mystery that he talked about. He talked about Christ in you, but you can't see Christ in you until you see the hidden mystery, which is our weakness. Over 33 years, God has shown me that my weakness, no matter what it is my greatest asset. That goes completely against status quo Christianity, and you don't hear too many grace teachers talking about it either, to tell you the truth. But that's it. It's our weakness. And His power is perfected in our weakness. We're the absolute negative, created as God's absolute negative. He's the absolute positive. And just like a car battery, when the negative and the positive have a right relationship, power is released. What is that power? It's not show power. It's not power to show other people who you are. It's that daily knowing that God is in control of all things. And there's nothing to worry about. There's nothing to fear. Your Father is not a cruel taskmaster. Your Father is not holding a carrot out in front of you and saying, just hang on, hang on, hang on. What He's doing is He's bringing you to the place where you see Him as your all in all. That's what He's doing. Christ is the all in all. I got kicked off of a grace group for saying that a few weeks ago. And if I mentioned the person's name, you'd know it because it's well known. Christ is all in all. And that's what I believe. And that's more than what I believe, that's what the Bible says. And so that's what the group's going to be. That's what this call is going to be about. The show's going to be about. And let me just read something out of my devotional here. I've only got a few more minutes. But I'm going to read day 16, and only because I just opened it. It's called Nothing is Lost. When they were filled, He said to His disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, let nothing be lost. John 6:12. Jesus is our Lord. He's also our Savior, the one who came to seek and to save that which was lost. And as such, we need to know that He never forgets about anything that concerns His creation. It may seem like there are times when we've been forgotten, but it's in those times we can be assured nothing is lost. Even though when we seemingly blow it and all of life is turned completely upside down and inside out, the times when we look in the mirror, walk away, and for a moment or even a season forget who we are. It's especially in those times we need to know that nothing is lost which concerns us, not even one fragment. Jesus just finished feeding a whole bunch of people, and while everyone else was anxious for what was next on the Jesus agenda, He was only thinking about what was lost, even down to the smallest fragments of the leftovers that started out as a kid's lunch. The food that just minutes before meant so much to these same people was no longer needed because they were all filled. I thank God He never forgets the fragments that concern us. The times we think are lost forever are exactly what the following verse in Romans, a verse we all know and love, is all about. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose, Romans 8:28. Only God can take what seems to be lost forever, whether it be a broken relationship with a family member, a once close relationship, a lost occupation, or a seemingly hopeless physical concern, and show up His eternal purposes, all of these things in Christ. He is the only one who can create life out of death and wholeness out of that which seems to be broken and lost forever. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." 1 Corinthians 11:24. The story of the feeding of the 5,000 is a wonderful story, but it really has nothing to do with satisfying the hunger of the natural man. Communion is a wonderful experience among believers in Christ, but it's not just about remembering to eat and drink. Both the story of the feeding of the 5,000 and what we know as the communion verses are more than just external rituals. They are about seeing an internal Christ, the one who lives in us, currently willing and doing of his good pleasure. Christ is the very sustenance of our life itself. This is where everything good and bad is open and laid bare before him with whom we have to do, when we see him as he is. And it's also here in this just as I am place where we learn his unconditional love, where we see no matter how bad it appears, nothing is lost. Knowing him internally, not just knowing about him, is where we regularly eat his flesh and drink his blood. And now know that he cares for everything which concerns us. That includes the things that are exposed as well as the things still hidden. It's in knowing when he saved us completely, and that nothing is lost. Not one fragment of our seeming up and down lives. Everything is always under his loving care and watchful eye. He goes on to say, "I am is the bread that came down from heaven, the true manna." This means to us that our life in him was meant to be taken in one day at a time portions. We no longer need to be a part of the try and fail cycle of death, which causes so many of God's people to live under the cloud of condemnation. We don't have to follow the different gospel of doing for God in order to be loved by him. He loves everyone freely by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And this is the eternal food and drink he gives, what is needed to bring us to the place where we never hunger or thirst again. Christ is our life. And when he saved us, he knew exactly what he was doing. It's wonderful to know that in his saving and keeping power, nothing is lost. We are saved in every sense of the word, past, present, and future. It's just as amazing when we discover he never forgets about one thing that concerns us. It might at times seem like he is forgotten, but it's precisely in those times he's teaching us the one foundational truth. The truth we all need to know in order to continue to press in to a deep, abiding, and real relationship with him without the fear of being reprimanded or living under the dark cloud of condemnation. That truth being that in him, nothing is lost. I mean, God is so amazing. Because I'm talking about a real relationship with him. And the last sentence in that chapter, which I did not know because I just opened it up. The one truth we all need to know in order to continue to press into a deep, abiding, and real relationship with him without the fear of being reprimanded or living under the dark cloud of condemnation. That's exactly what this ministry is about. That's exactly what we're about. That's exactly what everything that I write is about. That's what you'll find at richinchristnow.com. You're going to find hope. You're going to find something that's going to allow you to hang on to the next day because you're going to know that God loves you and he loves you exactly as you are. And he couldn't love you any more than what he loves you right now. Father, I just thank you for this wonderful opportunity to come before you, Lord, and before these wonderful people that you love. And I just ask, God, right now that you would open the eyes and unstop the ears, Lord, of those who are broken and who are trying to find their way, God, but don't know how. I ask, Lord, that you would comfort them, Lord, and you remove all condemnation from them, God. And you let them see in the mirror today and not walk away and forget who they are. Because you love them just exactly as they are. Lord, that's what you've shown me over 33 years of failing and falling. I wrote the other day, either I've got to be the biggest failure that ever walked the planet, or God is up to something much bigger and much more significant than I am, than what I think I, my purpose here. And I know the second is true. God has chosen the lowly and the weak and the base things and the things that are not. And so that's the show, and we'll be back again next Wednesday. And if you folks like what you hear, this is as real as it gets, guys. No pretense, no playing games, just learning the truth of a God who loves us and who has a plan for us that exceeds anything we could ever imagine. Thank you, and God bless.